Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all of the latest. And I have to tell you right now in advance, we're maybe having a problem tonight. I know BTR is working on an upgrade situation, and apparently we're having problems with the chat, and so we're working on fixing that now. There was even a skip in with the call, if you believe that. So I believe those things have been worked out for you guys. Don't forget you can press that number one on your dial pad to be heard at any time. For everybody else listening, you can call us at 58-683-326 5280503-334. And it's like we're starting to work now, so hopefully they've got that worked out. In the meantime, just a quick announcement. Ed Martin will not be here tonight. I just got a message from him. Got home from work, or from his dog is in bad shape. Taking the dog, we will see what happens with that. Everybody knows I'm an animal lover, right? So I can't really complain about that. So that's where we're at. We got so much to talk about. It's unbelievable. If you guys want to call in and talk Louisville, please. But I tell you, because we've got a lot going on. A credit rating has been downgraded once again for the KFC Yum Center Arena. I tell you, this is something that was so easy to predict. It was unbelievable. We talked about this in 2006. I ran for mayor in 2006. Jim Snyder and David Jones, arguably two of the biggest business leader names in Louisville, Papa John, Humana, these guys own, co-founded, whatever, argued against for the same reason. And fascinatingly, the blessing. Louisville KFC Center has not lived up to that. This year, we had to put $9.8 million towards bond payments out of our seats. We told everybody in 2006 that the plan was unsustainable. It's been open, what, 4 years now? And they can't pay able to. On top of all of that, they decided to do this tax increment financing, a TIF district, if you will, and tax all the surrounding business around the area. What did they do? A lot of those businesses said, hey, guess what? Why should be taxed higher to pay for an arena? So that's the TIF district. So that money did materialize. Why? Because the city will tax these businesses out of being able to stay. They gave up even that more tax on backwards thinking that they had when they made this look from Tree Live. Corey's group before Tree Live is fit from the very beginning, from conception to what it is today. It was not going to make money. It does not make money. Force Live is no different than a temporary warehouse employer in Riverport or out at Waterson Trail. It can't hold on to tenants. They come in, they leave. They can't stay. Why? Because the cost of doing business is too high. Not only do you have to pay the last 9 hours and everything else that go on with that place, you got to pay the politicians. It's called pay to play. We have discussed it time and time again on air, and it continues going on. The KFC Young Center is the same way. Jim Abramson, Steve Shear, Kentucky Fair Board, Met Council, Jim Kinser, this was never going to work. Everybody knew it, except for the average Joe. Boy, we really need an arena. We can get an arena so we can get an NBA team. Yippee, look. We can't even support Louisville basketball. We're going to support an NBA team. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, you're crazy. We support them. I always got full stand. Really? Then why do they have to get a sweetheart of a deal, $339 million that we backers are going to stand for? Why didn't they? Why did we have to do that? And that's the problem. Nobody wants to list at all. So then we couple all of this with everything else that's going on in Louisville. Possibility city, Louisville, is reaching further going into the abyss. The only possibility left for Louisville is to see just how far down we can go until we are completely irrelevant. That's it. Jobs. Greg Fisher says on his Facebook page, he makes a nice post on there. He says that the new 5K degrees report, new 5K degrees report, shows Louisville has a high percentage in history of adults with college degrees. 31.3% of adults in Louisville have a college degree. I think it's high when people be affected by his Obamacare. But 41.3% of adults in Louisville have a degree, according to Greg Fisher. And he also goes on to state that we are still losing college grades. Why? Why do 41% of people supposedly go to college and have to leave? We know education here isn't great. So they can put any number on there they want to. I would challenge college education 41% based on some of the people that I deal with every day. Quite simply, there are no jobs. The only jobs in Louisville we have today, we have put ourselves into this low wage service economy of life. The majority of the jobs that are available today are seasonal jobs, or you have to go through a temp order, make 9 p.m. career report, raise it off a shelf, put it in a bag, and then put it on a pallet to be shipped to somebody else. Employers don't care about anything. They don't care about you. You can have them 50. They make money. They do nothing more than send you on a job. Wow. Forget everything else you heard. So why would anybody go into mainstream debt, take on thousands of dollars of debt to get a degree, advanced degree, to go work at a temporary warehouse? It's probably not going to be in existence 2 years now anyway, for $9 an hour over and over. But see, that's the reality. We can get our temp jobs. And even those jobs aren't enough to pay. Okay. But here's where it gets amazing. Here's where it gets really, really amazing. And I do all this. We have got... Well, apparently we've got a problem with chopping tonight. So we were having some problems with the guitar and Skype earlier. Hopefully that will work. I just got in the chat room private message. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But here we have got a situation where low and 40% of the people graduate college. They have to leave town because they can't find dollars now. But the only jobs we're going to be able to get here are $9 jobs, low-wage service economy jobs, minimum wage you will. Minimum wage to $10 an hour. That's what we're going to be listed with. That's what we're going to be listed for. That's what we're going to have to deal with. Okay? So explain to me this, and then we're going to go to the phones. With that in mind, we've got major areas that people want to work and can't work. We've got a metro council that goes to tell why, like, even the low-wage paying jobs, that's our economy in Louisville, folks. But now we're going to tell Walmart they can't even employ people here. Because Councilwoman Mr. Scott did, along with Sheriff Hamilton and a few others. So, hello. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You were chopping up. I didn't hear you. Open the door for me. Sorry. Oh, it's pretty choppy, Ed. Pretty choppy. Huh. So, hey, listen, on the education thing, this is Paul with Stop Invisible Taxes. I have long been a proponent of good education. I don't care where you get it. I don't care whether it's public or private. or even homeschooling, so long as you get a good education. And we've heard for decades, and I'm a Seneca High School graduate who was actually considered to be a pretty good academic school because, after all, just 4 years before I left there, the former mayor, Jerry Abramson, was there, and he seems to have played his politics pretty good. But nonetheless, that was back when the public schools, which, by the way, Seneca at that time was in the county. And I want to make that distinction because shortly after it was decided that the Jefferson County school system needed to merge with the Louisville public school system, which was grossly inferior and was absolutely underfunded, and it was being managed horribly. That's when, instead of raising the standards for the system at large, they actually lowered the standards, and that's where we are today with Fisher and the relatively new Jefferson County Public School superintendent all saying, in essence, it's everybody's fault except theirs as to why our schools are performing poorly. And I really resent that. As a lifelong Louisville resident, Ed, I've seen the decline. The decline has happened not because the citizens, the people who pay the bills, wanted the decline. The decline happened because the leadership in this burg for all these decades and the Jefferson County School Board, which has become overly influenced by the Jefferson County Teachers Union, all of them collectively have lowered the standards, and I resent it. I resent it.
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. That's the whole thing, because everybody is on the same page with that sentiment these days. Anybody and everybody that I've talked to is so frustrated because we continue to lower those standards. And see what those lower standards have done for us over the last 20 or 30 years, haven't we? I mean, look at the kids today. They can't even do basic math without a calculator. They don't have to do homework anymore because that's just asking them to do too much. So how did we get to that? How did we fix it? Because 41.3%, according to Greg Fisher, college degrees, but they have to leave Louisville to get a job. We dumbed down education so much that the college degree is meaningless?
I don't think the college degree is meaningless, Ed. I think it is a question of who is doing the emphasizing and who the intended beneficiaries are. If you wanted to go and give some of the credit, if you will, to some of the public universities here in the area, I think that you could be somewhat justified in doing that because they too have over the years kind of lowered their standards for incoming freshmen. Okay,
sure.
I don't know about you, but when I was in college, they were just introducing remedial classes for incoming freshmen. They weren't the 100 series classes. They were the 0-100 series classes. Those were remedial classes that the colleges had to do.
For those.
Pardon?
Greater new revenue, too. You're actually paying for those classes, right?
In some cases, yeah. In other cases, no. But the fact of the matter is that the universities here locally, both the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville, both had to have these remedial classes because the quality of the incoming freshmen wasn't high enough to do regular college coursework. And I would be embarrassed by that. The reason I want to pound on the public education is because I know that we've got examples here in Louisville, Kentucky today that Mayor Fisher and Donna Hargan conveniently didn't mention that are putting out quality education, and their students are benefiting tremendously. I'm going to give you the number one example that we have here locally. I could talk about Christian Academy of Louisville, but they're located over on the east side, and they're getting a lot of parental support, and they're doing a wonderful job. They've got a campus over on the southwest side as well, from what I understand, is doing fairly well. But the best example of all of a non-public education institution that is performing stellarly without a, mm-hmm. without any public funding is the West End School. Right smack dab in the middle of Western Louisville, one of the poorest demographic parts in this entire region, that school, through proven education efforts and through care and concern for their students, are making a huge difference in the lives of those kids that are fortunate to be attending. And these are not kids that have got a lot of money. Most of them don't have much money at all. Their families are not particularly well off.
Name the school.
But they've got a commitment to education. The name of the school is West End School. The West End School.
And what do the people that go to that West End School, what do they have going for them that the typical public?
Well, they've got families that want their children to have a good education. And they know that they can't be guaranteed that in the public education, because the public education system in Louisville, Kentucky, it's all about busing. It isn't about quality education. The Jefferson County Teachers Union, the Jefferson County School Board, and then the social scientists that seem to live in parts of our county in great numbers, they all think that simply spreading the misery around the county is the way to ensure equal outcome. Well, sadly, the people down in the West End, their children have been used as these test tube lab rats, if you will, for all these years, and it's not working. It's just not working on a wide scale. It's not working.
And I totally agree, because this has nothing to do with education in a public school system. This has absolutely everything to do with social engineering and dollars. Busing. It gives them an excuse to raise taxes to pay for the everything else that they have. They hire a bunch of overhead, don't do anything. They give the teachers more money with less results. It's all about money. It's all about social engineering. And you're absolutely right about the West End School. And that's what makes it so fascinating, because the parents who are actively involved in that school. We're talking PTA meeting, we're talking homework, we're talking involvement with your student. One of the worst things that ever happened in Jefferson County is when we started allowing the parents to shun their responsibility, to let them think that they have no responsibility for the education of their child. We started dictating to them how it was going to be, what it was going to be. Now they don't shit so much as they're glad they have an all babysitter. That's the thing. When I came in with a C on a card, my book was grounded because I didn't study hard enough. I learned to get A's pretty quick. I worked because my parents didn't accept mediocrity. There wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't my in school. What happened? They were involved. And that's what we're lacking today.
I want to caution you and your listeners not to. Yeah, the picking on the parents is the easy target. They're the easy target, and I would want to suggest that while I'm sure there's more than our fair share of parents out there who really don't care that much about having their kids get a good education. I want to suggest to you that part of our mission on Stop Invisible Taxes is to raise awareness of all of the tax burdens and all of the costs associated with government, and the fact that when that money is taken out of the pockets of the people who live in a community, that means that money can't be used to take care of other things that are more important. For example, one of Louisville's biggest open secrets is the fact that the Churchill Downs racetrack, the buildings and the land on which it sits, they're owned by the city of Louisville. And one of the problems with that multimillion-dollar operation being owned by the city of Louisville is that the city of Louisville may get rent on it, but the city of Louisville does not pay any school board taxes. The city of Louisville does not pay any state property taxes. The city of Louisville doesn't even pay city of Louisville taxes on that land. So when the city owns property, it takes that property off the tax rolls, and therefore it – by in and of itself, they cut off any source of possible tax revenue. So these kinds of decisions, when the city buys property, or here, I'll give you a more egregious classification, when an organization obtains tax-exempt status from the state and they buy real estate, did you know that their real estate is tax-exempt as well? So they take that off the tax rolls? Who pays for the police runs? Who pays for the fire department runs? Who pays for the EMS runs on all of these pieces
right.
of property
right.
on which there's now a tax-exempt status? That burden is shifted to everyone else who does. So this is one of the dirty little secrets in the way our government's been operating for years. It's called cost shifting. They're shifting the burden of providing city services to organizations and entities whose land, in this case, is tax exempt. And when they shift that burden to everybody else, Ed, that takes money out of their pocket. All the while, places like Churchill Downs, who is the tenant on their own racetrack, is
right.
reporting revenues that are approaching $1 billion a year.
And that's a large part of the problem. But when I talk about blaming the parents, here's what I mean by that. Because when busing first came onto the stage in the 70s, everybody fell for that racist crap. It's somebody else's fault that my child is not doing good in education. He doesn't get to go to the better schools. Instead of demanding that the schools that their children were going to got better teachers and held them accountable, no, we blamed the schools, the areas of town. So we allowed busing to go through, Brown v. Education, all of that stuff. When we found out what a dismal failure that was going to be, then we went into KIRA. Then we started doing all these other experiments, but we never went back to change busing. When I talk about it being the parents' fault, it's because the parents were already showing signs in the 70s that led to all this crap, that they did not want the responsibility for the education of their children. And as time has went on, now we're one or two generations later, maybe three, now that time has went on, these same kids have learned by example that they don't have to be involved in their child's lives when it comes to education. Now, that's not saying that every parent is that way. Understandably, that there is a small segment that has to work two jobs and the other things that it requires because we are subsidizing people like Churchill Downs. There's no disputing that whatsoever. But when people give up and don't fight for what's in the best interest of their family and their children, then they allow the others to take advantage of that. And that's what Democratic leadership, and I have to say Democratic leadership in Louisville and in the state have done. We have destroyed the education system. We have allowed them to do this because we keep voting for them. If you go to the West End, let's look at this. You just mentioned the West End is one of the poorest areas of town. It is the poorest area of town, bar none. It's also got the largest black population, bar none. It also has the largest welfare population, bar none. We can make those claims. We can back it up with the government staff to prove all that. And yet, when you have an opportunity to move ahead and try to do something different, to bring some pride to areas of the West End, to give people hope, to give them even a low-wage service economy job like Walmart wants to do or wanted to do at 18th and Broadway, then you get into the point where you've got council people like Attica Scott, this no-good, racist, one-armed bandit who only cares about herself and what she can get out of it, Councilwoman Attica Scott, yes, you heard it from me, says, I will not take Walmart. I will speak vehemently against Walmart unless they agree to some real solid concessions. One being that any employee coming into Walmart will be a local worker from within a 2 to 3 mile radius of this retailer. Another one being that Walmart will pay a living wage dictated by her. And the third one being that Walmart will allow workers to form a union. Now, she thinks she has the right to tell a private business that they're going to give what no other business is required to do in order to come into an area of town that she represents that has absolutely nothing there.
I think that's really indicative of the entire Democrat liberal mindset, is that for somebody like Attica Scott to make such statements in the public record, shows either an unbelievably high degree of arrogance, or number two, it shows an unbelievably high degree of lack of how American business always works. Now, we've got a person with a high degree of lack of understanding of how American business works sitting in the White House. And this guy is single-handedly, I shouldn't say single-handedly, he's got a lot of help with the Democrat contingent.
He's got Valerie Jarrett. That's all he needs. He's got Valerie Jarrett. Go ahead.
But when folks spew that kind of nonsense, they do not advance either their cause or the benefits that they claim they want to have for their community. They don't advance that argument one bit. In fact, what they end up doing is that they actually create additional resentment, because those kinds of statements are actually pitting one part of the community against another. And I think, Ed, sometimes I wonder if that isn't the whole purpose of people like Attica Scott making such ridiculous statements.
In reality, Attica Scott probably will not suffer for her decisions on that, because when she goes for re-election, she's going to get a few votes to Clarence Yancey, and Clarence Yancey is going to go down to the West End and buy the votes in her district. They've never sued me. I've been saying that for years. They've never sued me for a reason. CD here with a statement telling me that from a known insider in a Kentucky State Police investigation. They know they can't sue me for that. But I'm telling you, that's the worst. Then you come, so here we go. We don't have proper education in the public schools, because we get to college when we have people unprepared. But then Mayor Fisher goes out and says, we've got a 41.3% graduation rate of adults in college. So the legislature put away. They don't have jobs because people are too dumb to hold these elected leaders accountable. Oh, they get a lot of these warehouse people coming in for a couple of years. And it's cheap. It's not about you and your future. It's about how much they can put in their pockets. You talk to a developer has to pay thousands of dollars adding on to his share, or they have to grease a bunch of palms. Ask Jack Dualworth how that works. He was the king of it. Okay, so we've got all of these different things. And if that's not bad enough, now it's not our fault our kids aren't educated. It's not our fault we don't have jobs. So what do we got to do? Well, in order to get good-paying corporate people here, and to get these good-paying jobs, well, we've got to have a first-class, world-class entertainment district. Let's get the Cordish Group in there and give them every dime we could possibly rape, ponder, and pillage, and steal from taxpayers, because they're going to funnel part of that back into Jerry Abramson and Steve Beshear and their bunch. So we're going to do this other dupe, if you will, on the people of Louisville. We're going to build 4th Street Live. We're going to enter into an agreement. But we're going to do a revenue share, and it's never going to make a dime. And we're still going to continue to subsidize that by taking money out of people's pockets. 4th Street Live is the temporary employer of the entertainment district. How many places have went through there? They last a year, and they're gone. They can't afford to stay there because the price that they've got to pay the politicians is too high. That's not good enough. Well, how are we going to make people go to the entertainment district? We're going to run everybody out so the 4th Street Live is the only option, because we're going to build this arena that we can't pay for. We'll build it. Yeah, that's it. We'll build a world-class arena, force these people in the entertainment district, and that'll make them spend their money here. There's no money to spend. How wrong am I, Paul?
Ed, I actually agree with most of what you just said. I've seen it as a lifelong resident. I've seen the downward spiral. We get this community. We take one step forward, and then our politics takes us two steps backwards.
Sure.
We, for whatever reason, we can't seem to get past this never-ending cycle of mediocrity. The same people that say, trust us, we know what we're doing, are the very same people that moan and groan about how Nashville and Indianapolis and Cincinnati and a whole bunch of other cities that 50 years ago were behind Louisville in terms of progress have all vaulted ahead of Louisville with some spectacular progress. Indianapolis is probably the number one example of a city that has vaulted way, way ahead of Louisville, because at one time Indianapolis was actually behind Louisville in terms of population and population growth. But now, when you go up to Indianapolis, you have the National Football League. You have the National Basketball Association. They haven't got Major League Baseball yet, but they've got a park up there that could certainly accommodate it.
But isn't that kind of misleading?
On some level.
I mean, is that kind of misleading, though? Because we know that a lot of these NBA arenas, for example, like the Indiana Pacers and stuff, a lot of these NBA arenas do not make money. They are a drain on the local economy as well. So all those like Jay Bruce Miller who are out there screaming, we have to have an NBA team, we're an NBA team. When you go to Indiana, per capita income in Indianapolis versus the per capita income in Louisville, you've got a major disparity there. When you look
and
at the job.
Why is there a disparity in median household income between Louisville and Indianapolis? It's the politics of the state.
Yeah. Sure, because when they go out. Exactly, because it's Indianapolis. Listen to me. Indiana has a better balanced structure than Deuce of the business coming there. They can get business to come there because they work with businesses better than we do. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't for one second, I want anybody in this to listen to this program to think for one second that I don't believe Indianapolis politicians are bought off. They are. Every politician is bought to some degree or another. But if you're a business and you're seeking to relocate and this politician says, give me a dollar, and this other politician says, give me all of it, you're going to go with the guy that says, give me a dollar. That's the way it works. Our leadership, or so-called leadership, I should say, keeps us mediocre and keeps us at mediocrity for a reason. And that reason is real simple. They could take more money from the feds. Federal dollars fund half of our budget. They could take more money from the feds, and they can abuse the people and keep them in line in their pockets. It's that simple. The problem is it's the same damn people who have been doing this for 30 or 40 years, and even the people of the West End, who have been hurt the worst by this asinine Democratic leadership in this town, they still keep reelecting these fools. Why?
You know, that's a good question, Ed, and I think if there was anyone out there that had a magic answer for that question, that they would have come forward by now. But the fact is that there is obviously something going on in Western Louisville that the rest of the county can't relate to. And I'm not sure whether it is something that has been imposed upon Western Louisville or if it is in fact their choice. You know, if they have chosen to remain somewhat of an iconoclastic community, hey, you know, I'm okay with that in a way, because that suggests that they're simply exercising their constitutional right to hang out with people that they want to hang out with, and I'm all in favor of that. I think that's great, okay? But the problem comes up when you've got people down there who proclaim leaders just like the rest of the county, who proclaim that they are leaders and proclaim that they have nothing but the best in mind for their folks, when they turn around and they sell them out.
Right.
And they sell them out. It kind of goes back to the old biblical story about Judas selling Jesus out for, was it 20 pieces of silver? Okay.
Give or take, yeah.
Except that, according to your sources, this 20 pieces of silver is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. So
The problem is it's going to continue being an ongoing thing. Because I'll tell you why you keep reelecting these clowns. It's because you don't bite the hand that feeds you. What we're seeing on a national level today, is we're seeing Democrats maintain enough power so that you don't affect any of the social programs or the welfare state. Now, people don't like it when I say that, okay? I totally get that. But you bite the hand that feeds you, and I think Louisville is very indicative of that. When you become dependent on government, and the West End is very dependent on government, like so many other people are, that you're not going to get rid of those people, because if you do, you might actually have to get out of this haze and this cloud of depending on somebody else and actually depend on yourself for a change. And that self-responsibility, that self-leadership, that self-discipline is missing all across America, and it's missing a great deal in Louisville. So these clowns like Attica Scott, and I mean, Sherry Bryan Hamilton's the same way. Sherry Bryan Hamilton sponsored a bill a couple of weeks ago because they've got high crime in the West End, They've got high crime in the West End. They're going to blame it on alcohol sales from midnight or from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. at the liquor stores in the West End. Never mind that the crime actually happens from 6 at night till midnight. They want to outlaw alcohol at from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning when it doesn't matter in the West End, and say that that's going to fix their crime problem because Sherry Bryan Hamilton says she has to leave her neighborhood every day to get the amenities that people like me and you, Paul, enjoy every day in our neighborhoods. And yet here we've got, so she's leaving the West End and going to Outer Loop to shop at Walmart. And here you've got Walmart willing to go to the West End at 18th and Broadway, and Attica Scott is saying no with the blessings of her dear friend Sherry Bryan Hamilton. The contrast here is so easy, or the conflict, I guess I should say, is so easy to recognize. And nobody is doing anything about it. And I tell you what's even more laughable. We've brought attention to the plight of the West End for the last few years right here on the MVM Radio Network, here on the Ed Springsteen Show. We have done that for the last few years. And every time we bring up something in the West End, the media jumps on top of it for a day, and then they disappear. Tuesday night of last week, prime example. We talked about the Walmart going up on Outer Loop. The location that they're putting this Walmart on Outer Loop, Walmart owned and closed in 2008 because of the high crime, the theft, and everything else that the West End experiences today. And yet they still chose to rebuild a new supercenter at a previous location that was unsuccessful rather than go to 18th and Broadway and build it in the West End where people really need the jobs or want the jobs. And they did it because of the asinine, short-sighted stuff like Attica Scott and Sherry Bryan Hamilton. So we talked about this Tuesday night last week. Philip Bailey over at WFPL decides he's going to put a story out Wednesday and following us. And then today, WOKY News, Renee Murphy is out there talking about it.
Or on
WHS 11. I'm sorry. So you got to... Where are these people? They want to follow us for the news, and they just want to report a story, but they're not bringing any attention to it. We bring the attention. Why is it that the rest of the mainstream media will not do the same thing? Quit reporting my stories and get their asses involved in the stories. That's what I want them to do, but that's what it's going to take. But they're not going to hold Attica Scott accountable. That's the problem.
Well, why should they go out and develop these stories when all they've got to do is stay in tune with your radio show and your blog? You're doing
all
the
right.
work for
them. They do. You know, 75% of all the news they put out there is something that I've already covered. They just go through and they listen to me. And I know they listen to me. I see all that. But the point I'm trying to get at is, though, I mean, I'm not trying to break my arm and pat myself on the back here, although I probably should. But the point I'm trying to get at is, though, they would rather secondhand report a story than to go out there and do the investigative work. And why are they not attacking Attica Scott? Why are they not holding her accountable for this? They want me to do it for them because they're too lazy to do their job. Millions of dollars get spent on advertising with these people to give them the opportunity to do real work and make a real difference in our community, in our city, and in our neighborhoods. And they refuse. Mainstream media used to make a difference years and years ago. They don't now. They would rather go out there and read a teleprompter. That's what drives me nuts, not the fact that they're following my stories. I mean, thank you, guys. I should be honored that you're getting credit for everything I do. That's okay. But why will they not get involved to make the difference in the neighborhoods anymore?
Did you by any chance see the Renee Murphy story tonight on the 6 o'clock news?
Have not, actually. Have not had a chance to. It's crazy.
Let me tell you, I did get a chance to see it, and one of the things that struck me about that piece that she did was the fact that she went out and talked to three different entities who happened to either live or work near the 18th and Broadway location that's being discussed. And all three of her sources, one was a store owner, one was a community employment project that seeks to help people find work that pays decent money, and the third was an actual person who was using that employment center. All three of those entities were extolling the virtues of having a Walmart come down to that particular location, because in every case, including the small business owner, they believed that the Walmart's presence would enhance the quality of life in that part of the city, that it would improve the people's lives, and that it would bring much-needed income to the area, which can do nothing but benefit everybody who lives down that way. And yet, Attica Scott
is making all these outrageous demands that are actually disincentives for any business, whether it's Walmart or not, to come and locate down there. So
right.
somebody is saying she's looking out for the community at large, but yet she's doing things that are contrary to the benefits of the community at large.
And that's the whole thing. And, you know, making statements, I mean, let's get into the union thing. Attica Scott is pro-union. Big deal. We know this. I'm not worried about the union. But for a government official to sit here and tell you you are forced to have a union, that is unconstitutional and overstepping the bounds of your authority. And when she says that, what she's really saying is you're going to pay me to force this union, and she's going to get a kickback from the unions to keep her in power. But this is wrong. This is no way, shape, or form should be allowed. The living wage. We have a wage in this country that's called the minimum wage. It's the federal minimum wage laws. Those laws are there. Walmart has to pay minimum wage. If you don't want to work at Walmart for minimum wage, guess what? You don't have to. And by the way, anybody can form a union. You have the National Labor Relations, folks. Anybody at anywhere can form a union if you meet the minimum requirements of you know, what it takes to form one. You want to know how to do it? Call some of these unions. That's the thing. Government can't dictate this. Go ahead.
I would strongly suggest that particular utterance by Attica Scott, where she demands that there is a union in place at a Walmart that might locate at 18th and Broadway, I would suggest strongly that is a deal killer, that Attica Scott single-handedly, with that one utterance, has probably killed any chance of getting a Walmart at that location. So when the mayor is talking about that they're in private negotiations with, quote, several firms, I will tell you that union requirement will absolutely cause Walmart to say thanks but no thanks. I've seen Walmart do that before when they didn't get favorable reaction from the community. They don't have to locate a store down there. There is nothing that says
no.
They have to. Okay.
No,
and
Madonna
in other cities that have tried that, well, hang on. And in other cities that have tried that very same approach, Walmart said, I'll tell you what, folks, rather than us building a new store, what we'll do is that we'll just go ahead and pull up stakes. We will take our stores in your community and move them out of your community when they are threatened like that. And that is a normal reaction. When a business gets threatened by the local leaders, then for them to say thanks but no thanks is perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. So
if Walmart
does not locate at 18th and Broadway, Ed, you can lay this at the feet of Attica Woodson Scott. It's her fault.
I agree totally. And if I were Walmart today, now I think it would be unreal. If I was a CEO of Walmart, I would yank everything. I would just pull out of Louisville, say, see you later. Move the stuff right over the line into Bullock County or Shepherdsville. They want the business. Move it there. People, if you're going to have to drive from the West End to here, you ain't going to mind an extra 10-minute drive to go to Bullock County to hit Walmart. Bullock County is going to boom. Walmart, listen to me. Do it. But I tell you what I would do. If you're not willing to go that far, then you put Walmart on banker's hours. You're open from 9 to 9 every day. 9 in the morning till 9 at night. How many people are going to be so pissed off and frustrated because they're so inconvenienced because they can't shop after 9 o'clock at night and they can't shop before 9 o'clock in the morning? Walmart's still going to make money. Their stores are going to be loaded for that 12-hour period. People are still going to go there, but they're going to lose some money on the front end. But how much money is the city going to lose? How many jobs is that going to cost? To prove your point, if you're willing to go far enough to pull stores out of communities and lose millions of dollars, then let's lose a few hundred thousand for a little bit and see how they like that. Because you've got to do something here. If I was Walmart, I would punish the hell out of Attica Woodson Scott. I would be advertising right here on the NVM radio network. Hell, I would even advertise on WHAS News. You know, as the CEO of Walmart, we feel like we have no choice but to do this because of Councilwoman Attica Woodson Scott and the mood of the Democratic Council. We can no longer tell you that we're going to keep our jobs in Louisville and provide a way of life for you and your family. I would do that. I would do a PSA. I would do that ad for free for Walmart. I really would. To teach these clowns that this pay-to-play crap is wrong, we're not going to take it anymore. The problem is problem is.
Well,
it's not just Walmart. It's anybody that does business in Louisville.
And see, Ed, you are again. You kind of backdoored an entrance into what Stop Invisible Taxes are all about, and that is when a company like Walmart is forced to pay to play. Do they mm-hmm. get overly concerned about being forced to engage in this pay to play? The answer is no, not really, because all they end up doing is simply passing those costs along. Anyone who is naive enough to think that by taxing or increasing the cost of doing business to a business is punishing that business, they are absolutely not knowledgeable about the way the system works. Companies never absorb those costs. They always pass them along. So if Walmart chooses to pay to play, who's going to end up paying that? That is right, Ed. The very same people that Attica Woodson Scott claims that she cares about. The very same people. So she's going to be inflicting additional pain on the people she says she cares about. She says
Attica Woodson Scott
reality,
only cares about Attica Woodson Scott. I understand. She only cares about herself. She's always been that way. I've talked with people who have worked with her. Two things always come to the forefront. Nobody that has ever worked with her anywhere has said anything good about her. Oh, the people who she sits out and talks to on the street that don't know no better, oh, she's got the devil's tongue, man. She can talk to people that don't know her. But once you get to know her, the people that I talk to tell me, one, she's a racist. She is nothing but a racist, and she is a socialist. That's it. She is a socialist, communist, and a racist. That's not a good thing to move a city or a community forward. And this woman represents a part of the West End and just said that she doesn't give one crap about the West End or the citizens of that community. And I find that so insulting and outrageous on behalf of that community. It's unbelievable. And I can't believe that the so-called community leaders aren't standing up and raising hell. The Justice Resource Center, for example, Lewis Coleman's old stomping ground. Where's Maddie Jones? Why isn't she chastising her? Oh, that's right. She can't because she's black. We can't have a black saying something bad about a black leader. Why, no. We've got to stand together. Just ask Barack Obama. Go
Ed,
ahead.
I think that you just kind of stumbled on something there, and that is I think you could interpret the silence from these very same people who are well-known community activists and well-known they say they're advocates for social justice. I think that you can imply from their absolute silence that they don't agree with Attica Woodson Scott. They don't agree with her, okay?
Not at all.
Because if they did, they would be out there in support of her. So this is fascinating that you mention that because by the available evidence that exists today, it appears that Attica Woodson Scott is, in fact, a lone ranger on this Walmart angle. And that there's a whole bunch of other people who are remaining silent because they don't want the social backlash. They don't want the backlash.
And I find that an insult. And I find that an insult. Well, I appreciate that. I seem to hit on a lot of things because the media obviously likes to follow everything I do. But I find it an insult for this reason. Because if you want to look at the Judy Greene case, for example, if you want to look at this Metro Council, these Metro Council Democrats chastised Judy Greene publicly every chance they got. Your Barbara Shanklins, your Rick Blackwells, your Bob Hendersons, didn't matter if you were black or white. Judy Greene happened to be a black person in District 1 that Attica Scott has now. But they had no problem standing up and chastising Judy Greene publicly, trying to humiliate her and get her into line. And they're being silent on Attica Scott after comments like this, when Attica Scott has just told the whole Barbara Shanklin 8 that we now call them, you know, that I'm not going to take any jobs unless I get my demands met. At a time when the whole African-American community and the whole African-American leadership on the council is saying, we need jobs, we need this, we need that, and they're not standing up publicly and chastising her, but they would chastise Judy Greene for anything. And I find that an insult to the African-American people.
it again, I think that just ties in with my premise, is that there's Attica Woodson Scott's out there kind of like the Lone Ranger right now. She's all by her lonesome, it appears, because there's no one else coming to her defense. There's no one else saying, we agree with you, that matters. We've got some people who write blogs that agree with her, but they're not the folks that are in leadership positions, and they're not in positions of influence. So I think that right now, with her not getting any support publicly, I believe there's a really interesting conversation going on behind the scenes between her and the people who actually influence her. I really do. So stand by. This could get really interesting and kind of be fun to watch here over the next couple of months, you know?
Well, I think you're right about it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to take a quick late break, and when we get back, we're going to go into closing. Paul, I appreciate the call, my friend. I really do. Thank you so much for calling in. And we'll take a break. We'll be right back, folks.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound.
Boy, I tell you, folks, welcome to Louisville. one thing's for sure, with the clowns that run this town, there's never a dull moment. I can tell you that. You know, we'd actually plan on getting to some different stories tonight, and I want to thank Paul for calling in from Stop It, because I love it when I get calls like that, because you get a chance to have a discussion, and, you know, it's amazing to me how much stuff these guys get away with. What's really shocking to me is that these Democrat leadership in this town have gotten so brazen that they think it's okay to tell us what we already knew anyway. You know, they used to at least try to hide that mindset. Councilwoman Attica Scott has got to go already. Now, I know the unions love Attica Scott. All these people love Attica Scott because Attica Scott is a socialist who wants to give them everything they want. But when you have a government official tell you that they get to dictate who you hire, where you can hire them from, and how much you're going to pay them above and beyond minimum wage, which is federal law, they think that they own the company and they can run the business. Attica Scott doesn't work for Walmart. She doesn't work for MVM Radio. How I run this business at MVM Radio is none of her business, as long as I'm doing it legally. As long as Walmart's doing everything legally, Walmart should have the right to go anywhere they want to go. When you have an area that's telling you that we need jobs and we're begging for jobs, and you're telling them, I don't care if you want jobs, these ain't the jobs I want, and that's the only game in town coming to your area, you've got a major problem with failed leadership. You know, you go down this road, you look at this 4th Street Live debacle, the KFC Yum Center debacle. Folks, I hate being right all the time. I told everybody in 2006 that this was going to happen. that this was not going to be a sustainable arena at that location at that cost. Quite frankly, I was against the arena altogether until I was presented with an alternate proposal from John Schnatter and David Jones, two of Louisville's premier business people. And that proposal with the old water company site would have given you the same arena and saved millions and millions of dollars and made it easier to pay off. But no, now we've got to subsidize this arena for $10 million every year and probably more before it's over with because they can't sustain operations. And what was so funny this weekend, this report I think came out Friday about the bonds being downgraded. And this Saturday, U of L had a game at the KFC Yum Center Arena. And what happened? They had to delay the start of the game for 30 minutes. Why? Because the lights went out. That's symbolically the problem with this KFC Yum Center Arena. The lights are out and nobody's home, but nobody wanted to listen to that. I hate being right because Louisville suffers from failed leadership. Then you throw this crap on top of this with Attica Scott. And we continue talking about Louisville being Possibility City. Folks, Louisville is not even Sustainability City right now. You can't move to Possibility until you learn how to sustain. We're losing the cream of the crop with college grads leaving because we can't do anything economically here to give them an alternative. Our education is dismal. Our job market is dismal. The people who do get educated leave town. What jobs we can get here, apparently we don't want, according to Attica Scott. Where does the list stop? But the one thing that remains constant, the Democratic leadership, the same people who have been driving this broken down bus for the last 30 or 40 years, continue staying in power. Just ask Jerry Abramson. Ask Steve Beshear. Ask half of your Metro Council Democrats who came from the old Board of Aldermen. Louisville is alive and well, and Possibility City exists for one group of people. That is the elected elite. That's it. They get their pockets padded. They get to keep their cushy overpaid job, and they don't care if you make it or not. And that's the sad reality of the world we live in right here in Louisville, Kentucky. On a personal note, to my good friend Ed Martin, who went home to his dog, he texted me in the show during the show, and he's going to have to put his dog down tomorrow. You know, Godspeed, my friend. That's tough for anybody when you lose a family member, especially somebody who's been in your family that long. So, you know, say a few prayers if you don't mind, folks, for that. And on the other personal note, hey, WHAS-TV, WFPL, all you other guys, why don't you tell your advertisers just to go ahead and spend their money with me? Because apparently all you guys want to do is rehash my stories. That's okay. I'll take credit for your shortcomings. But have them send their money here because, you know, just imagine. If you could rehash the few stories that I put out there for you to touch, can you imagine what I could do if I had your money? I'd give you so much more to talk about, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. That's it for tonight, folks. Have a great night. Ed should be back tomorrow night unless things are really bad tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, take care. God bless. We'll see you.